Well, here we are live. Hi everyone and welcome to the Gentleman's Talk. today I've jumped on live. Why have I jumped on live? No real reason. Just fancied a bit of a change rather than just sitting there and talking and, never know who's going to jump on and who's going to listen. But today I really want to talk about overthinking, really because it's prevalent in the state of mind that I'm in at the moment. Got some just adjusting the music in the background there to make sure it sounds at the right level, like a little bit of ambiance in the background, you know. I'm just getting set up, getting cozy, getting set up as we do. Right, so overthinking is such a difficult subject. So I've been overthinking horrendously this last week. I've had a week off and, you know, it's not been the best of weeks, if I'm brutally honest. It's not been the best of weeks, if I'm brutally honest. It's been up and down because it's an impromptu week off that I was given because of the Jubilee bank holiday weekend, you know. So, you know, I took it. And, you know, it's one of those things, you know, you sort of, you can't say no because it's almost free time off. It's a bank holiday. But at the same time, you don't recognise it as proper time off if you haven't scheduled anything in. And it's led to a little bit of a difficult week. I'm not going to lie to you. It's been ups and downs. And if anything, it really just got worse for me towards the tail end of the week. And I overthink everything anyway. I always have done. And I don't know why I do it. It's just a natural reaction to overthink. I overthink a lot of situations. I overthink a lot of processes. I overthink, you know, text messages, emails, you know, it's a horrible thing to overthink. But I saw this little analogy the other day, actually, that when they talk about overthinkers and they say overthinkers are dangerous because, you know, that there's loads of pros and cons to overthinking. And obviously the con to overthinking is you can dive into it a little bit too much. I'm just going to adjust my music. I don't know if it's too loud. Yeah, that's probably a bit better. I don't know whether you would think about it through the sense that when you overthink, you do look at every single worst case scenario, best case scenario. You look through everything. You don't tend to look through everything through rose tinted glasses. You tend to be very very a bit of a realist, you know, which is what I am, which is can always be perceived as a negative because you don't really look at everything through those rose tinted glasses and you're not a very big optimist. So you look at a situation and people think of you initially as quite negative because they're like, God, you're a bit fucking down, mate. Once you give us a chance, we've all got to have a dream. And I'm very much like, yeah, we've all got to have a dream, but let's make the fucking dream realistic, you know. And for me personally, because I overthink everything, I've already thought about all of the scenarios. So I already know what the worst case scenario is. I try to plan for the worst case scenario so that I don't undo all of my sort of hard work or basically make myself feel, you know, shocked and awed into a negative reaction. I just kind of go, this is going to happen. This is the worst case. If it doesn't happen, then Billy Bonus. You know, that's kind of the way that I look at life. And it can be very difficult to manage that, to live with, to have a friendship with, to have a relationship with. I know I've struggled massively with friendships. I've struggled massively with relationships. I still struggle now with friendships because I've gone through a particular scenario this last couple of weeks where, you know, moving into this week, I've had quite a lot of change with my friends and, you know, they've moved on to different areas, different roles, you know, and I've ultimately seen them less because, you know, these things happen, don't they, you know. But at the same time, as I said in my last podcast, acknowledging that stop looking for other people to fill the void, try and fill the void yourself. So It's been tough, I'm not going to lie. And I've done a lot of research and I've done a lot of overthinking and, you know, I've messaged quite a few of my friends and a few of my friends have just not bothered fucking responding to me for whatever reason. But it might be that they're busy, but at the same time, I overthink things. And that's when I get to the point where I am now. And with an overthinker, especially as I'm learning about this now and I'm sort of kind of putting my overthinking into a little bit more of a a relatable experience with the terms of my PTSD and my ADHD. So it's kind of like, for me, I'm trying to understand it from a different point of view. So I'm kind of looking at it now as an overthinker, going, oh, I'm overthinking because of, I don't know, I'm tired, or I'm fucking, I'm drunk, or whatever. Do you know what I mean? It could be anything. And you might overthink because of these certain scenarios, whereas in actual fact, I've been researching it quite a bit. And overthinking is, it's a really horrible situation to be in. It's not the best to be in. And there's some cons, and there's obviously some pros, but there's a lot of cons. And for one thing, for me, is it does delay decision making processes for me. So, I sometimes I might need to give a fast decision, and in for things to progress forward, but I won't, because I have to overthink everything. So I've already thought about everything. I need to find out, which is kind of plays into the right hands in terms of my job role. So because I'm in health and safety, to overthink things and look at the worst case scenario does help me, because I always, you have that interjection, you have that kind of worst case scenario, and health and safety is worst case scenario. So for me, it's kind of an easy trade to be in. But at the same time, acknowledging that it is easy to be in. Sorry, I'm just going to sort my mic out. It is easy to be in, but at the same time, it can delay aspects of the process. Luckily, with health and safety, you can't rush it anyway. So it's kind of like fell into the right sort of kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It kind of fell into the right realms of what I wanted out of life. I wanted a job where, if I overthink, and because I overthink, I kind of went, well, this seems like the sort of the pragmatic way to deal with it, really. Go into something where you have to overthink. Excuse me a second, I'll just take my, I'm going to take my jumper off, because I'm sat in the cabin here, and it's all of a sudden got a little bit warm. It can delay the process. And talking from as a broader spectrum, if you're somebody that overthinks and you need to make fast decisions, and certainly in my last job, and in when I wasn't a health and safety advisor, I was spraying, you have to make quick decisions all the time. So you might need to I needed to then understand and learn the processes and learn the trade, right down to the nitty-gritty of the whole thing, so that I could confidently make quick decisions, because I didn't need to overthink them, because it came second nature. So I've kind of like adapted in those roles, but at the same time, I haven't been able to adapt that situation in terms of real life. So in real life, I overthink things, and that's where my friendships and relationships come into a sort of negative, really. Because I overthink every scenario. I overthink text messages that people send me. If I send a text message and I don't get anything back, which has been the case recently, it's kind of a very difficult situation. And also, like, even recently, I've engaged with quite a few people, and do you know the frustrating bit is, I have asked, somebody contacted me, a friend of mine contacted me and wanted to meet up. He's having a difficult time at work. And I said to him, that's fair enough, mate. Yeah, we can meet up for a walk. And there was loads of little parameters I had to kind of hit. It wasn't like, we couldn't do it this time, we had to do it this time on this day. And I was kind of like, well, this is turning into a bit of a chore for me now. And I started overthinking the situation. And then in the end, I was like, actually, mate, fucking, I'm struggling here. I've been struggling for a week, the last week, and nobody said, how are you, Jimbo? Do you know what I mean? Whereas every day I've said, how are you? How are you doing? And all this. And so it's kind of like you do overthink that scenario then, and then you get quite selfish. And one of the things I do when I overthink is I pull myself in, inward, like massively. I kind of shut myself down when I overthink, because I go into that protective mode. I go into that kind of, because I've overthought, every situation, and I've overthought what the worst case scenario is. I kind of then pull myself away and go, do you know what? Fucking, I'm done. I'm not gonna risk hurting myself by contacting you anymore, or meeting, or whatever you're doing. Or I'm not gonna do that, go into that situation, because I'm gonna overthink it. And it's a protective characteristic that I have. But it's quite it's a big negative. I'm not gonna lie to you, because you do shut yourself away, and then you kind of go to the point where once you've shut yourself away, you've shut yourself away from the world. So then you overthink even more, and you kind of procrastinate, I think the word is, over everything, and you kind of like. It can start off as like a, it's almost like a little itch. You've got a little itch, you start off as a little itch, and then before you know it, you're scratching the shit out of it, and you're ripping skin up, and you've got a massive gouge in you. It's almost like that. So it starts off as a little itch, a little overthink. Why is he not contacting me? Or why is she not doing this? And you might be talking about your partner. And you kind of overthink everything. And then when you go into overthink mode, and I've noticed it today, I've been very quiet today. I've not been interested in talking to anybody. I've not had any motivation. And I've kind of gone, I went out this morning and I came in and just shut down. I just fucking shut down. And I just knew I'd shut down. And I was like, do you know what? I'm done with people now. And I noticed I was getting into that mode. So I went to a barbecue yesterday. And it was around, not my friend's house, it was my partner's, my wife's friend's. But I went round just because I've been there a couple of years ago, and I haven't been to a lot of events recently because I'm not interested in. I call it fake. I call it being fake. I'm not interested in being fake. I'm not interested in going to a barbecue and faking conversation just to get through the evening. I don't know why I'm like that, but I am. And I know people say, well, you need to get out there because when you get out there, you learn from conversations. And I do. I went there. I had a relatively good time. And then about 3 hours in, I went, no, I'm fucking done. I've literally had enough now. I've spoken for three and a half hours of fakeness. I was surrounded by, what I call. It was an aging group, shall we say. And I just went, I don't want to be here. This isn't where I want to be. So I just upped and said, fucking, I'm going to go and walk dogs. And I never came back. But I'd overthought the situation there. And then I came through the door. And because I hadn't had a good night, as good as I wanted it to be, because when I go out and I have a few drinks, I want it to be a good night. I do. I want to have a bit of fun. I want to relax and let the old hair down. And I had a fucking haircut and everything, so I felt good when I was around there. But it just wasn't very comfortable. It just wasn't a very comfortable situation because I didn't know them. I couldn't physically relax, so I was overthinking my weight and I was overthinking how I looked. That sort of manifested into me trying to hold in my belly, which then caused a severe reaction in my back, which I'm already struggling with anyway. And I just got to the point where I was like, I don't want to fucking be here. I'm really uncomfortable. I'm starting to get a headache. I don't, no one's really engaging. And I was trying to engage, but it wasn't the conversation that I was sparked with. I didn't know how to conversate or adapt to that situation because it was a completely different situation to what I'm used to. And I think because I'd set my standards on what I'd wanted, I was a realist and I went, if it's not like that, I'm going to fucking go. And I did. And I ultimately overthought the situation and I left. So, and that's had a negative effect on today. And today I've just kind of gone, right, I've not seen anybody. I've not been anywhere. I just, I don't want to fucking do this anymore, And ultimately, I've then been sat there overthinking everything, like my fucking job. Do I want to do this? I was going through the process of like, fuck it, I'm just going to go fucking bankrupt. Not that I need to, but I'm just going to go bankrupt. This is where my mind went. I'm going to go bankrupt and I'm going to fucking go to a different country and I'm just going to fucking live off a beach somewhere, grow a hut, or not grow a hut, but build a hut and just fucking live a life of no stress. But ultimately, I know that that wouldn't be my suitable situation because I do strive on stress, and I am a high functioning individual. I'm very ambitious, so it probably wouldn't suit me. But that's where I want to go, and that's when I know I'm in a negative overthinking situation because for me, I then shut myself away. I then go fuck it. I don't want friends. I don't want people. I don't want to do anything. I thought about coming off fucking everything again, do you know what I mean? And that's where the overthinking kind of takes a bit of a fucking negative effect on me. And it's been exacerbated in the sense that as I'm learning quite a bit, and do you know what? I think the best thing that's ever happened to me was being diagnosed with ADHD because although I can't put a, I don't, it's not about putting a label on it, it's about understanding it. So what I'm doing is I'm learning about these certain aspects to do with ADHD, and it kind of is giving me a process. It's giving me the ability to understand where to go forward, if that makes sense, because I didn't know where to go forward. And like I said, your mental health, your mental state, it can take a massive, it can take a massive turn in seconds, in minutes, in, or even overnight, It can go from being happy as fucking Larry to, I don't know who Larry is, but I'd love to be him. He's fucking happy all the time in my phrases. But ultimately, it's about that kind of getting a balance, really. And I'm finding it hard to get the balance because I'm so focused on adventure. I'm so focused on learning new things. I'm so focused on, pushing myself forward all the time. But at the same time, I'm constrained heavily by the current climate, the economy, finances. So for me personally, that's where I get the hold back. So I do things where what I can, how I can, but it's not feeding me enough. It's not giving me the spark that I need. And it can ha with me, there's no real specific time in the day when I can overthink. It depends on how it is. I mean, there's like say this morning, for instance, I was fine, and then I went out and I came back, and I, for some reason, I had this aspiration, as you can call it. I had this quick think to go and have a shower, and I don't know why, but I do enjoy the water, so I suppose that's part of a happy place for me. And because I knew I was going into a negative world at the time, I went and had a shower, but I ended up standing in the shower, and just as the water was cascading over me, I felt, a little bit sort of happy. But at the same time, that's when I started to really overthink, and I started to dwell on everything, like literally everything. And I just went, I can't be fucking doing this. It got to the point where I was like, I'm not interested in making friends. And people say to me, why you should do that? And I go, because for me, there's so much negativity involved if when I'm in a low mood that it really does control me, really does consume me. And it's but at the same time, I understand that having friends, relationships, and stuff like that is it boosts you because, as we've spoken many times in my podcasts, it's important to have the right support around you. But it's amazing how that support can just disappear. And when other people get their priorities, and then you become lower on their priority chain, or they become lower on your own personal priority chain. And it gets to the point where you become quite negative with that. So sometimes you get, like I said, one of the biggest things for me is I go into a protective state. And I think because I'm so happy, or not happy, but because I'm so comfortable in my own skin, my own, my own company. For me personally, hold on, I'll just take a quick sip actually. That's a lovely. So it's just lemonade and ice today, no alcohol. But for me personally, it's difficult. I go into a protective zone, and for my own personal health, my own personal sort of kind of, I don't look for a sympathy because that's not what this is about. I don't look to go, oh, I'm in a really low place. I'm going to start posting everywhere that I'm in a low place because I've never done that. I don't do it for attention. And to be perfectly honest, if I was going to put a nail in the coffin with regards to that little statement there, anybody that posts or puts on social media that they're in a low fucking place, or for me personally, I don't think that that's the right way to do it. I don't think that. I think it creates that attention. Something that I've never wanted to do, I've never done in 10 years of struggling with this. I've never posted I'm in a low mood. I've never posted, something that sort of kind of draws that attention to me. Because if you're in a really low state, you don't tend to want to burden people with that kind of pressure. And I certainly don't. I kind of shut down, and this is what I jumped on today. I jumped onto this podcast today because I hadn't done it for a few days, and I could feel that. I could feel that the tension in me, and I was like, I need to talk. I need to. This is what I need to do. I need to talk about it. So I jumped on, and here I am, and trying to unpick it, hopefully, as I talk to you. But yeah, I go into this protective zone. I go into this place where I go, fuck everybody. I'm just not interested because I'm not getting the fun out of life, and as a protective state of mind for my own safety, I kind of go, well, just go into your own little bubble, James. If you're in your own bubble, you're safe because you know that you've been, to the lowest of the lows, and you personally perked yourself up. So I feel that strength within me, and it's difficult because I don't know how to fill the void, and this is what I'm trying to establish, without sort of kind of getting into the point where you kind of get yourself into crippling debt because you're trying to just try different activities and all this sort of stuff to try and get the mind going. But as I've said, ADHD, it's got its own little concerns, as well as, the mixture with PTSD and kind of like dealing with all my own coping mechanisms that I've installed in my own brain for over the years. I go back to what has always worked for me, which is, it hasn't worked for me, but I feel it has. And it's like an instant defense mechanism where I just go, fuck the world. I'm not interested. I shut myself away. I shut the curtains and I go to sleep. And that's literally what I did yesterday. I went to sleep in the afternoon, had a 3 hour sleep. That's when I knew. So the last 3 days, I've been sleeping quite heavily. And that's when I know that there's something wrong. I know there's something brewing, because I felt a little bit emotional. I've been overthinking. I don't know how to get out of this. And I don't think it doesn't boil down to just having a week off and not doing anything, because that's not what it's down to. It's down to a mixture of things. But I've seen the steady progression of my normal state when this happens is, I kind of go very tired, I go very sleepy, I shut myself away, I don't interact. I stop I massively reduce my eating, which I have done. And then I shut myself away. I protect myself. I almost give myself that bubble to go, fuck everybody else sort of thing. And I know what my triggers are, and I know that that's what kind of, when I overthink, this is like kind of the third stage to my overthinking, really. The fourth stage, the final stage, as I call it, is when I shut down and I just ignore everybody. And I've been actively trying. I've tried to say I'm going to go and see friends, and kind of, there's a bit of a battle going on at the moment between my own brain and what people are saying to me and stuff like that. So it's a real fucking shit sandwich, and I'm going to be brutally honest, but I'm fighting it. But I know at the same time I'm in the fourth stage now, and that's happened over the week. excuse me. I've gone from, stage one where, kind of it just gets a bit difficult. I get a bit sad, and then I kind of go into the second stage where I push myself, and I fucking redesigned my garden in 2 days, painted it, just went fucking hell for leather. Which, if you'd have thought about this, James, and I'm talking to myself as a third person here, if I'd have thought about it, I would have spread that over the week and I'd have enjoyed the process. But I didn't, because I was so. The way the process was going and the way the garden was looking, I started to get that fucking spur. I was like, yes, this is what you want, James. This is where you want to go. And then it crashed because I did it in such a fucking quick space of time. And I went, right, well, I've got nothing to do for 5 days now. And most people relish in that. And it's trying to explain to people that I don't function like that. I don't function on needing rest. I need rest after I've done something exciting. So I kind of got to the point there where, my back's been playing up, and then I almost go fucking quiet, negative, and, I kind of I get stressed, my muscles are tight, and it's just a horrible situation to be in with overthinking. And I'm at that stage now, like I said, I'm at the fourth stage now where I've just shut everyone away. I'm not fucking really interested, and I'm trying to fight that. But when you get into that mode, it is really difficult to get out of it. And that is from my own personal experience. Once you're in that zone of shutting yourself away because you think you're going to protect yourself, you kind of get to the point then when you've already made that decision. And one of the things that you need to understand with an overthinker is, if they've already thought about the worst case scenario, it's like something I saw the other day, that if with an overthinker, if an overthinker doesn't like you will never change their mind because they've already thought about absolutely everything and they've tried to fight everything. So when an overthinker And this is a genuine, this is genuine, and I believe it because it's how I function. But once you've done something to hurt me and you've done something to sort of kind of ostracize me or ignore me or whatever, because I've thought about every single situation, it could be negative, it could be positive. The positive will come in a minute because I always like to finish with the positive. But I've already thought about everything. So I've already thought, can I get over this? Can I accept what you did to me? Can I move on from it? What will make it better? And I've already done this with all of my situations. So when I say that I don't like somebody, I genuinely mean it. I don't think I'll ever come back. It doesn't matter what you say or what is done. Once I've, and this is where I said I'm quite ruthless because once I've pulled away from that person, for me, I don't. For me personally, I've already thought about everything in my hand, in my head, and I've already run through, as I said, every single scenario. So I know deep down that whatever's happened to me has definitely affected me, and there's no way to get over that. And sometimes I can get over small situations when someone apologizes to me, especially if they didn't know they've done it. But if that person knows they've done something, and I've openly expressed that they've done something to upset me, and I've said, I'm sorry, but that's it. I'm done. I will be done. I will put on a smiling face if I bump into you, but I will absolutely be done with that person. And it's really quite a horrible, I can't come back from that. And that is probably one of the biggest negatives to my personality, and this process of overthinking, that once I'm done, I'm done. I literally am fucking done. And people that have retained in my life after something's happened, you're there for an absolute pure gold reason for me personally. And it's the same as if someone says, if I say that I love that person, if I say I love you, and whether that's a friend or a relationship, then I genuinely mean I love you because I've thought about everything. I've thought about the quirks. I've thought about the things that that person does that frustrates me. I've things about that person that's annoyed me, and I've analysed everything right down to the raw, minor, smallest of details. And because I've done that, and I've still come to the conclusion that I love you, and we're not talking about love as in, because love is a strong word, but I love friends, and you know, I've got mates that I love because I'm like genuinely, I if I've said to you I love you, it's because I genuinely do. And love doesn't have to mean sex, kissing, and cuddles. You know, love can be that intense feeling you get of happiness when that person's around you. So when I say it, I genuinely say it. And that's when, in the past, when I've said that word love and someone's crushed me. And I have had that crushed. It fucking breaks me. And I mean, it absolutely breaks me to the point where then I have to overthink the situation. And normally, where I go into that situation and I overthink things, I'll then break down to everything and I'll systematically go through the friendship, relationship, whatever. I'll systematically go through that and see whether that's worth saving. And then I'll try, and then if it fails and fails and fails until the point where I ultimately will hate that person, and hate's a strong word, isn't it? It's a fucking dirty word, but I use it, and I use it because I mean it. And that's the problem with overthinking, is when I say I hate that person, I genuinely despise that fucking person. That person does not want to cross me ever again, doesn't want to cross my path. Because I then get to the point where I will openly fucking ignore that person. I would create such an atmosphere, but it would never affect me. And that's a horrible thing to say, but I would. And you know, sometimes I've had to bite my tongue. I get that because at the end of the day, I'm not an arsehole. I'm so far from being an arsehole, it's unbelievable. And that's where I said I've overthink everything. So for me personally, that's when I get the sadness. I then get the protective nature involved because if I start getting to the point where I'm feeling that collapse around me, I go, okay, well, you know the one person that's going to fucking save you here, and that's yourself. So I pull myself in, put on a bit of music, and I just don't think about anything. I just kind of go, you know, that is it. And it was interesting because I was reading, and as I was reading about overthinking, and I was trying to understand overthinking because I know I do it, and I know I overthink every situation. I know that at the moment, personally, I've lost touch with a recent good friend because of the overthinking situation, and that's because I haven't addressed a certain situations, a group that I didn't join, and I get that. But I have to look at it from my situation, and I don't think I'd have been involved in that process too much, but I haven't addressed it. So ultimately, my anxiety now has caused a situation for me to overthink. So am I overthinking it? Quite possibly, but at the same time, I'm acknowledging it. But overthinking is a horrible, horrible thing. It causes stress. It causes anxiety. It stops you from hitting these things head on. But it was interesting because I was kind of looking at ways how I can deal with overthinking. And I was like, there must be a way. Like I said to you, I do, for mental health and well-being, I do meditation. I do reflection. I do body mapping. I walk. I eat healthy, you know. So I do all these things because that's what helps me. So I was looking for overthinking. And I was like, you know, how the fuck do I stop overthinking? And when I looked into this, and everything revolved around the stuff that I kind of deal with anyway. So, you know, it was things like listen to music. Well, I listen to music all the time and it does help me. But then at the same time, I have to be conscious of the type of playlist that I play when I'm overthinking, because to overthink and listen to sad music, you'll overthink even more. So I have to play the right music, which is normally for me 80s music, because I like a bit of 80s. But I was looking into other things and like play computer games. Well, I've tried to do that and I have. I absolutely smashed computer games this week, which is so unlike me of recently. Well, say the last couple of years, I've not really been involved in gaming. I used to be a heavy gamer, but this week I have, because I've been looking for that distraction. And again, I didn't get the feeling that I got from it. I ran through games, completed them, done the achievements, rah, rah, rah. And it just didn't work. So I then flipped it, and one of the things it said to me were perform an act of kindness for someone else. Now, there's a difference between happiness and pleasure, isn't there? So, you know, going into overthinking, but with a little bit of, we're going to just divert a little bit here, you know, sort of kind of, I'm thinking about, so I thought about that and I was like, well, okay, well, how do I perform an act of kindness? Well, actually, there was a single mum, and before you get any ideas here, there was a single mum, friend of my wife's, and she needed a Ring doorbell fitting. So she asked me if I could do it. And do you know what? I put it off and put it off because I didn't, it's weird. I love DIY, but I get awkward going around to people's houses to do these things, because I knew that she was going to sit and watch me, which is fine, because it wasn't fine for me, but fine for her for wanting to do that, because she wants to understand the process and she was just being polite and kind. And I went round and I was fitting the Ring doorbell. She was talking to me and I could feel the anxiety. I was sweating and I was like, fucking hell, I just want to go away. Because if you leave me to do something, if I do something on my own, I will do it fucking perfect. I will do, guaranteed. And I knew that I was feeling the stress because I was like, I was trying to do an act of kindness to see how it would make me feel, and trying to distract me from the overthinking. And also, performing an act of kindness is always a nice thing to do, isn't it? So anyway, I helped her, and when I walked away, I noticed that the Ring doorbell was slightly off, to my eye anyway. And when I measured it, it was 3 mil out. But it looked about fucking 3 foot to me. And I was then angry with myself because number one, it wasn't perfect. And number two, that 3 mil made it look out to me. She didn't notice it, but that's my eye for detail. But that was because she was watching me. And I felt the kind of stress of that. And I was like, even to the point where the conversation was fucking ludicrous, because I was so stressed and overthinking everything that I was like, I just want to get this fucking done. Does it work? It didn't work. And in the end, I got it working because I had to bypass power, which is, she had a different type of Ring doorbell to me. She had the analog one, which meant you needed power from the power source. So anyway, we managed to fix it, but it kind of brought me on to then that kind of, I felt good, because I was happy because I'd helped her. And she was so grateful for it. She was so like, thank you very much. I've had this 6 months. I didn't know how to install it. She's been sat there. And part of me was like, you've had it 6 months and you've not fucking installed it. I was like, shit. And it sort of transpires that she'd actually asked my wife before, and my wife was like, oh no, James is really busy. And it was because she was just concerned. She was protecting me. She didn't want me to feel the pressure of having to do this. Because unfortunately for me, because of my OCD and the way that I like to get everything perfect, everything in my house and the things I do are perfect. And if they're not perfect, they get chucked in the fucking bin or painted over or discarded, whatever. I just don't bother with them. They'll sit there half done because they're not as I've envisioned them. The beauty of that is when you're looking from the outside to the inside, you go, he knows what he's fucking doing. And 9 times out of 10, I don't. I just research, I learn, I look, I get involved, and then I try, trial and error. If it doesn't work out and it's shit, I throw it in the fucking bin and I'll never do it again because I know that I'm not good at it. Rather than learning and learning, I go, no, if I'm not good at it off the bat, I'm just not interested. But then I will caveat that with I research heavily to make sure that I'm good off the bat. So, but I did, I got happiness. And it was interesting that when I was researching as well, there was this little synopsis about pleasure and happiness. And they were saying like happiness is doing something like an act of kindness, or happiness is spending time with loved ones or family. But the other side of things, which is kind of, is when you buy something. So, you know, you can kind of pleasure, the pleasure aspect of stuff is buying things for yourself. Like you, I'm going to go and buy something. Or I'm going to go and buy a new car. Or I'm going to buy a fucking house. Now you'll get an element of excitement from that, but it's pleasure. It's like taking drugs or drinking or smoking, whatever you fucking do. You don't smoke because it makes you happy. It's a pleasure thing. You don't go to the shops and buy something because it makes you happy. It fills you with pleasure, which releases serotonin and endorphins, which does in a turn, it's like a fake happiness, I call it. And I've had that through all of my years of mental health problems. I bought a shitload of stuff and I think I'm going to feel happy, but I don't. I feel empty inside. And that's because it's pleasure. So it's like when I drink, it's pleasure. It's not happiness because ultimately alcohol is a depressant. So you can't say that alcohol gets you fucking happy. It doesn't. It's a pleasure. You like the feeling of being drunk and losing your inhibitions. But it doesn't make you happy. You will wake up in the next morning with that element of emptiness because you may have done something fucking silly. You know what I mean? Or you may have not had the night you expected, like I did last night. I went round there. I was drinking for pleasure, so I had a couple of gins, but I wasn't happy there. And that's why I left. So that was kind of like caveated with the overthinking aspect that I went round there to make myself happy, started drinking, but all I got out of it was a little bit of pleasure and there was no happiness. So once it was 3.5 hours in, I was like, this isn't making me fucking happy. I'm fucking leaving. So, but what I did get was happiness out of helping this person. So, and it was interesting that when I researched a little bit of happiness and pleasure, and something I want to talk about in another podcast, but it was interesting to learn about how happiness would be buying something for a friend or doing an act of kindness for a friend. That's happiness. If you go out and buy a gift for a friend and you see them smile and you something they couldn't afford or something they couldn't get, or you know, you've bought them something out of the blue that you know they've said for ages but never just gone and done it, and you've gone and done that for them. That's an act of kindness that results in happiness because you are going to get the natural love feeling. You're going to get the proper serotonin, not the fake one. You're going to get the long lasting one that's going to revert into a memory. So that happiness is then going to infill you with serotonin and endorphins and all the really good stuff, but it's going to last a long time because you've helped that person. You've done an act of kindness, something that they didn't expect, and you see them happy because they haven't gone out and bought it for their pleasure. You've bought it for them to make them happy, and it will make them happy because it's a gift. And then that should in turn turn back to you. So it will come. I mean, you never give to receive, but if it does, then that person will feel happy about doing it for you. But if you go to the shop and you buy yourself a nice pair of fucking Nike Air Max or whatever, bearing in mind I've got fucking 17 pairs of shoes upstairs because I thought that that's what made me fucking happy. I've got two limited edition Vans, Simpsons and fucking, there's another fucking cartoon, I can't remember what it is, Snoopy. I've got them, worn them about 4 times, but that was pleasure. It wasn't fucking happiness. It was pleasure that I was looking around at fucking 17 pairs of shoes on the floor, lined up, all going, they're all Adidas and 2 pairs of Vans. Because that's what I was. I wanted them all Adidas. I didn't want anything else. To the point where I chucked a pair of trainers away because they were Nike. Nothing wrong with them, but that's the way that my brain thought. So it was interesting to know that. And I did get that act of kindness. And then it came back and then I fell asleep. And then fucking, that's when I started to get this protective nature, this protective sort of feeling. And some of the things that I've read, which is like watching films or TV shows or mainly that really, or playing computer or board games, they can be, but for me, they're not a distraction. I get fucking bored really easy, but I think that unfortunately, if you were just a normal overthinker, and I say normal in the loosest sense, when you've got ADHD, you've got a really short attention span anyway. So one of the reasons why I don't watch a lot of TV programs is because I get bored. And if I'm not entertained in the first 5 minutes of a show, I literally switch it off. And there's been times where, I mean, today alone, I've put on four movies and 2 TV series. And both of them, I got about 15 minutes in, picked up my phone, started watching little 10-second fucking clips, you know, whatever they were, and just go, I'm not interested. This is fucking literally boring the hell out of me. So I do revert to the standard stuff, which is like, listen to music. So a great way to find a distraction for your overthinking. And exercise. So what I tend to do when I get to this point, which is what I tried today, was going for a walk with my dog and listening to music. And it did work. It did work. But I'd already transitioned into this protective phase. So I've ultimately fucking stayed away from everyone, because when I'm in this mood, I'm not a nice person to be with. And my wife, bless her fucking socks, she has tried everything to help me today. She was like, oh, buzz your feet and let me rub your feet. So she's massaging my feet while I was trying to watch this really good program, actually, which I should be interested in. It was called Dope Sick, and it was actually about Oxycontin, I think it was, and it was about the drug and how the FDA, which is the American side of things because it's an American show, but we can relate, they don't tend to deal with pain. They tend to just chuck tablets at it, which is what I said, which was where my 3-year addiction to cocodamol and codeine came from, because it was stopping the pain, but you ultimately get addicted to that thing. And it was a full show about this based on a true story. And I got about half an hour into it after the foot rub had finished, and I went, fucking bored, switch off, I'm done. Now, that's the sort of thing normally floats my boat. So I knew that there was a problem there. I knew that there was something. I know there's something going on in my mind at the moment. And ultimately, overthinking, unfortunately, does lead to sadness or even depression. Now, yes, okay, there's quite a big difference there. I know that we put sadness and depression in the same sort of category, but there's quite a big difference. You know, sadness for me would be, you know, someone cancelling when they were coming round, or sadness would be my TV show isn't fucking on, or do you know what I mean? That's sadness. For me, depression, and I think that Jim Carrey said it best, depression is basically your body saying, fuck you. And I've been, that's fucking ultimately it. Your body shuts down and says, fuck you, and you don't want to function. There's quite a big difference. But obviously noting that sadness can lead to depression, because if you don't deal with the problem, well, if you've had anything to do with mental health, and you're probably listening to this because you have, you'll understand that, you know, when you start overthinking, when you're in that sadness mode and it gets worse and worse and worse and just keeps growing and growing and growing, it's really difficult to dig yourself out of it. And then if you're like me, you go into that protective phase where you fuck off everybody in the world and literally just do everything you can to just be your own self, your own company. I noticed that when I was my second walk of the day with a dog, I was like, I was doing this for him. This wasn't for me anymore, because I just did it because I was like, he needs a fucking walk. Let's just get it done.
I didn't enjoy the walk as I normally do. So it's a bit of a shit. It's a bit of a shit sandwich. You know, nobody wants to eat a fucking shit sandwich, I can assure you. So it's kind of, it's difficult to live with. And I actually sat down. So we had tacos this afternoon, which is quite nice, Fred for tea. And I sit outside quite a lot. I think it's because it's quiet, it's peaceful. There's no real distractions on my eyes. And I look at the nature, I can hear the birds. So I enjoy that. It's a really safe place for me amongst nature. And I've kind of tried to create that in my own back garden, a kind of natural habitat. And I haven't done this for anyone else. I've done it purely for me because I enjoy sitting there every night. Even my missus says to me all the time, James, you sat out there. We were at the park yesterday and she went, oh, you know, we don't really sit in the garden much. And this was like, fucking James is every single night. And I do. It doesn't matter what the weather is. I'll put a fucking brolly up. I'll sit in the fucking rain if I have to. I'll sit in the cold and put an hoodie on. That's what I do. I enjoy it. It's a very, very relaxing place for me. The problem is, because I'm quite a hot person, and I don't mean hot in the sexy, I mean hot as in my blood. So I don't tend to feel the cold as much. So I tend to sit in there in all conditions. So I do end up doing that alone a lot, which then gives you that ability to just, again, sit in your own company and learn to live with yourself. So you do end up naturally closing in. And that's what I've done. It's a bit of a problem. It's a bit of a problem, to say the least. You know what I mean? But it's, like I said, overthinking, and we're trying to, you know, without sort of kind of, you know, diverting away from it. There's certain pros to overthinking, and there's certain cons. And, you know, it's kind of, the pros for me to overthinking are, like I said, it's taking your time to overthink a decision. So, as I said to you earlier on, you know, it works for me in my job because overthinking is really, really important in health and safety. So it's kind of one way that I get to manage my own overthinking in my daily role because it works for me. I get to take my time. I get to research. I get to make the right decision at the end. And when I come to that right decision, it is the right decision because I've looked at everything. It may include, sometimes it does include me making that decision, but with other people to try and understand the thought process. And I do this more as a manager now because for me, it's really easy to make a decision and just fucking go with it because I research everything. And sometimes that might be the pragmatic approach. That might be the sensible approach. But also noting that as I've learned and grown through my sort of managerial side of things, I've adapted to thinking that's not always the best scenario. So I do tend to involve other people. And that's what I tend to try and do. If I'm overthinking a situation, I tend to go, can you look at this? Or what's your view on this? I do it a lot. I did it a lot with my parents, actually. I always ask them when I overthink it because I go in like a bull in a china shop. Some people can send me an email and I'll read it and I go, fuck you. I don't fucking, you're a knob. That's the kind of the way I go. So what I tend to do is I tend to write an email now. I tend to send it to somebody that I can trust, normally my dad. And I say to him, can you read through this? And he fucking says to me, you've overthought this, son. You really have. And the good thing with that is that's not going to be eternal. And I don't need to do that forever. But as I'm getting into a more senior role, it's nice to get life experience from somebody. And my dad is a very wise person. So, and he tends to be, because he's, you know, 67. So he tends to take a bit more of a cautious approach to things. And there's been times where I've sent him an email and he's gone, fucking don't even bother sending an email, son, because all you're doing is loading your own anxiety. So it's really good to get an important, and I must offer that as a little bit of a tip, really, of it's worked for me. So if you're an overthinker and you receive a text message from someone, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a friendship, ask another person's opinion, someone that you can trust that you know ultimately doesn't make is not an overthinker. And bearing in mind, you know, my dad, he does overthink, but he overthinks for the right reasons. But at the same time, he does that for himself, but never does it for me. He's always gone, no, that's a wrong decision, or that's the right decision, or you need to word it a slightly different way. And sometimes I do offer a little bit, I ask for a little bit of help from my mum, because again, she's got another dynamic to this. So it's really important to have relationships with people that are able to support you. But I really do. kind of ask for that assistance. But they're like kind of the pros really to overthinking, and how you can adapt those overthinking to those pros is quite easy to do. Find the right job where an overthinker can be, you know, sort of kind of let to fly, if you like, you know, kind of go, well, if you're an overthinker, fucking jump into health and safety 100%, because that's what your role is, to overthink everything. But there's obviously cons, and the cons are, well, obviously, if you're in a job where you overthink, then you're going to delay the decision process, because you're going to be overthinking everything, going for worst case scenario, best case scenario, you're going to think in the weeds, you're going to research the hell out of it. And you might have somebody that goes, well, actually, mate, I need this fucking decision an hour ago. What the hell are you thinking about? So that's really hard to explain that to somebody. I'm an overthinker. Well, don't be an overthinker, dickhead. And that's normally the reaction you'll get to an overthinker, which is why, unfortunately, I don't really think that overthinking is something that you can... You could probably do it if you were in your kind of work-based scenario and you had like a boss that you were kind of comfortable with and go, just to let you know, I do overthink everything. I don't want it to hinder anything, any processes, but, you know, it might take it, give me a little bit more time. And you might get that relationship, but you're not going to get that luxury all your life. There's going to be someone that says, fucking, I want this decision now. And you're going to overthink it. And you might miss that window because you need an instant decision that needs to be made to operate something, or, you know, that decision needs to be made to move forward with a plan. So it's a bit of a shit sandwich again, and a shit sandwich is going to be the word of the day for this one, I think. Another massive con is it creates uncertainty and doubt. So one of the biggest things for me as an overthinker is I overthink everything, and even if it's the best case scenario, I then overthink that best case scenario, and then I then start feeding the seed of doubt, and I then start looking at the scenario again, and then this is where we get that delayed process, because I'm like, fuck, no, it can't be that decision, because something's going to fucking happen. And if you're like me, and I am quite a confident person, you can find that sort of kind of that doubt and that uncertainty becomes exacerbated. It becomes more prevalent in your daily decisions because you're confident. You like fucking start questioning yourself. You're like, well, no, James, no, James, you make the right decisions. So this might not be the right decision. If you're not 100% fucking right, and you've got this gut instinct, you'll stop. But it might just be your overthinking or your anxiety side of things. So it's a horrible situation. Because that is when you kind of get onto this. I call it the roundabout. It's not the circle of life. It's a roundabout. You just end up going round and round and round. You never take the right exit because you're kind of in that uncertainty stage. And overthinkers, especially if you're dealing with an overthinker with a mental health condition, you could have depression. You could have anxiety. You could have PTSD. You could have ADHD. You could have any kind of mental health condition that is just gonna, if you're an overthinker, as I call it normal, but it's the wrong word, but it's the only one I'm going to think of at the moment. But if you're an overthinker as that normal person, just a normal functioning person, then you can kind of put things to bed quite quickly and go, okay, I'm an overthinker, but actually I know what's right. If you're dealing with a mental health condition, and like if you're like me, like I said to you before, you know, I overthink scenarios because I've missed a lot of stuff in my past because of my depression and my PTSD. I kind of missed a lot of things and I forget a lot of things, which I write a lot of stuff down. And one of the biggest things to overthinking is my journal. My journal is a fucking godsend. And another little tip for you, if you're an overthinker or have any mental health problem, get yourself a journal, please, because I write stuff down all the time. I've got notes on my mobile phone as well that I could be sat there in the car and I'll just fucking write down notes of stuff I want to talk about, stuff that I want to rethink, stuff that I've dived into and gone, okay, this is the right situation to fucking think about it. So it's important for a journal, and a journal has helped me. And I've been on the journal for the last couple of weeks, and it's a new edition, something I researched to try and get the thoughts off of your brain, to write them on paper, to help you process them. Because I call your brain's a bit like a highway, isn't it? And when you're overthinking, it's almost like a traffic jam. It's just fucking there. You're trying to get to point B, but that fucking red light ain't changing. Do you know what I mean? You're moving one car at a time. So the overthinking just it just gets strengthened with doubt and fear and all the other things, that sort of the negative things that come along with overthinking. And that's when that seed of doubt gets just bigger. And before you know it, you've got a fucking oak tree of seeded doubt in your head. And it's when that's when the problems occur for me. That's when the problems occur, because I start doubting myself. And I don't like to doubt myself, because I like to do things. I've always been on that ethos of, you know, measure twice, cut once. Because, you know, that's, I mean, it's an engineering trait. You should do that anyway. But I do that with everything in life. I always measure the scenario twice, and then I'll only cut once. I'll only, hopefully, I won't make a mistake. So it kind of, you try to reduce you try to mitigate against the risk of making mistakes, but we can't do that through life, because unfortunately, life chucks some curveballs at you, doesn't it? Doesn't it? But yeah, it's, that's where I call it, and that's where the problem is. And it kind of creates that infinite loop. And you don't tend to get a resolution if you overthink too much. Luckily, because I'm kind of quite focused as well. And that's why I only take on really, and this is where I, you know, discovered that link between ADHD, is I only go into a scenario when I'm confident that I know I'm going to get the right outcome. Now, that's a bit of a shit way to fucking deal with life, because you can't plan for everything, and it can hinder you and hold you back. But at the same time, it's kind of a beauty thing. I use the PTSD as my negative side, and I kind of actually started to use the ADHD as a bit of a positive, because what the ADHD does, it gives me that spontaneity, it gives me that that adrenaline, that drive for adrenaline, that sort of kind of strive for ambition. And then the PTSD side of things is the one that normally hinders me. It kind of says, no, don't do this, don't do that. Oh, fucking hell, here we go again. So I kind of I'm learning to play them off of each other a little bit for my own personal progression, really. And it's weird, because it's a good way to look at it. But at the same time, and this is a whole learning process for me, but at the same time, I'm understanding these differences. I'm understanding that I can't create and mitigate against everything, because if it did, you would never live life. You would never enjoy life. Now, I'm one of these people, I love to live life. Like I said to you, I've overthought. I've gone into protective zone. I'm kind of in this place at the moment where I just like to fuck off, get on a plane and go somewhere on my own and just fucking start again, start afresh, just fucking live stress-free. That's not what I want, but that's what my brain's telling me at the moment. It's telling me, fucking James, go away. No one's interested in you. And I've spoke about this many times in podcasts where it's horrible to think like that. It's horrible to get to the point where you want to shut yourself away from everybody. But it's an instant protective mechanism for me. It's kind of a way of going, no, James, it's not going to work. That person's fucking you over. And then I'm in this infinite loop of overthinking. Then I get the anxiety, and then I start letting people down, because I'm just like, fuck it, I'm not interested. I don't want to go there. You've not been showing interest in me. I'm not going to fucking make the effort for you. And it becomes like a negative loop of fucking just pure negativity. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrendous. So like I said, overthinking is a horrible, horrible thing. And I don't just shut it down there. I want to offer some kind of support, some things I've learned, you know, and on how to understand the overthinking. And more so, obviously, this is going to be the ADHD aspect, because there might be people out there, but you can allow this to be connected to mental health in its broader spectrum, really. Because although what I'm going to offer you is an ADHD, I'm going to offer you and that's just because that's the way I've researched it. I'm going to offer you the aspects of that I've done that's allowed me to progress and come. And like I said, you know, there's weeks where I've been amazing, and here we are now, like I said, 6 months into this podcast, and you know, I've had it's a roller coaster of a trip. It's just absolutely, you know, there's times where I'm excited, and there's times where, And this is where I don't think that people understand mental health, because you can see people and you can see them happy and you can see fucking hell, he's doing all sorts of crazy shit. Oh yeah, he's fucking been down there. Oh yeah, you know, and there's plenty of times I've been out on the bike and I've come back and I've gone, fucking hell mate, the front wheel didn't stay down, practically on his back wheel everywhere. And they're like, fucking hell, that's great. Or I'll show photos of my garden and they're like, fucking hell, he's on it, he's really. But they don't see, they see a snippet of life. They see a happy snippet, I call it. And I look at it as a snippet. Anything I post is meant to be a snippet of remembrance for me, really. But it's not a true reflection of the fucking battle. And that's where I actually enjoy the podcast. So one of the things I'm trying to do this year, like I said, I'm 6 months into this now. I'm learning. I'm trying to grow this aspect into something that's a little bit more involved for me. I want a proper setup so I can come and feel comfortable. At the moment, I'm doing this off an iPhone with a very good speaker. But I've got aspirations to do bigger things with this, but not turn into bigger things, you know, that overwhelms me. But because I've enjoyed this process, I enjoy talking about it, and I ultimately enjoy offering tips and tricks and scenarios that may help people. But at the same time, understanding mental health, and I want people to understand mental health, because I've hit so many fucking roadblocks that it breaks my heart, because people have assumed that I'm quite an outgoing person. I am quite confident naturally, but that's just that's basically the way I was raised. I was raised to be confident. I joined the military. And like I said, you join the military, you're chucked into a room with 24 men and expected to get on with every single one of them. And they're all from different backgrounds, different personalities. So you learn to adapt quite a bit, which gives you a lot of confidence. And I could tell yesterday, I was at this party yesterday, and there's a guy there who I got on with a house on fire. He was ex-army, and he's an absolute diamond guy. But you could see that he had the same confidence, because we were talking and we were like fucking we'd been mates for fucking years. He didn't stay very long, so that's one of the reasons why I think it sort of fizzled out for me. I went, fuck it, he's going, I'm not interested in anyone else, because I didn't get that from other people. But that's because other people didn't have that similar sort of confidence. And then I started overthinking, the anxiety kicked in, blah blah blah. So to offer some support, really, and I've got some tips here, and I think that they'll work, and I want to try and allow me to just sort of kind of offer some advice, but it will work, and I think most of them will work, if not all of them, in any aspect of mental health that you're suffering from. And as one of the things I've mentioned is the journal. And a journal is just a way of unpacking all your thoughts and putting it in something different, like, you know, getting it off your brain. Writing it down is it's such a positive way of dealing with things, even to the point where you don't have to process it. And what I've learned, the problem with an ADHD brain, and this is where this is more relatable to people with ADHD, your brain can be quite messy at the best of times. So mine is. My brain is all the fucking time. It's always focused on every aspect. I look at every fucking detail. I spot things that people just do not fucking spot. And I lose a lot of concentration very, very quickly. But what I am learning with the journal aspect is it's given me a way of unpacking the little minor details that I can process later, or even stuff that I think's happening but isn't actually happening. And I don't mean from a crazy standpoint, but there might be something that's happened that's just annoyed me, and I go and I've noticed now that, like, I got this look from my daughter yesterday. It was quite a rude look. But it affected me, because I was like, well, I didn't think I deserved that. But she's a fucking 15-year-old teenage girl. So, you know, she's got fucking hormones everywhere, and she's, you know, that's just the way she is. But for me, as an overthinker, I take that personally. So I had to write it down. Tegan did such and such. And do you know what? It did. And I hadn't thought about it, so I processed it right now. And I spoke to you. And even just by talking to this podcast, it allowed me to go, actually, because I didn't think like this yesterday. I went, she's a 15-year-old, like I just said, 15-year-old teenage girl. Hormones are everywhere. She's in and out of periods and all the other shit that comes along with being a girl. I'm glad I'm not a fucking girl in that sense, because it's a roller coaster of emotions. So, again, I hadn't processed that. I'd written it in my journal and I hadn't thought about it. And here I am now talking. And it kind of like leads me on to probably the most important part. And this is why I'm talking to you, is talking to somebody. So sometimes you need to process your thoughts out loud and get that person, but it has to be someone you trust, someone you trust implicitly, someone you know. And that is a very difficult thing to have, because trust me, there's people where I've told people things and I know they've gone back to their partners and I know they've gone to their closer friends. I know they have. So it's I know that finding someone to trust is probably one of the hardest things that I think I've ever had to do in my life, personally, not through work or anything like that. But to find somebody I trust has always been the hardest thing ever. Because for me, and I know I'm going to sound biased because it's me talking about me, but for me, when someone tells me something, it does not cross my lips. Nine times out of ten, I'll forget about it, if I'm brutally honest. But I've given you the ability to talk out loud and give me that information, and I'll put it to bed. Because for me, all I've done is I've been a set of ears for you, and that's all you want. You want somebody to give you an unbiased opinion on the topic you're talking about, offer you maybe some support, and ultimately listen to you, just listen to what you're saying. And it's a way of getting that valuable feedback or a way of feeling validated, because we all struggle with our own processes. We all struggle with our own mental health. You may not have a mental health condition, but we all suffer through some sort of mental health or mental well-being, because we all have stresses in life. There's things that we might make a mistake and, you know, that might stress you out. But by talking to somebody, you're giving them time to process it themselves and look at it from a different perspective, and they might offer you something that you didn't even think about because you've gone into that overthinking mode, and they might go, oh mate, you just need to fucking do this, or just go and do this. And I actually had it with somebody in my last job. It was a female that broke a machine, and she came to me and said, can you help me fix it, just because obviously, you know, I like DIY. So she was like, if anyone can fucking fix it, I can. And I came down and I looked at it and I went, you know, what's your problem? And at the time she had concerns and she didn't feel confident with her line manager, etc. So she was just worried. She had the anxiety of that. And I kind of said to her, well, it's a machine, mate. Let's not try and fuck it up by trying to repair it. Let's just grab the bull by the horns, go and deal with it. There's nothing they can do that make you feel shit. It's just human error, accident. We all do it. But it was that second opinion that was unbiased and took her on the route that she didn't want to, but explained that it was the best route. There's no point in trying to fucking hide it. It makes it worse. So what you're doing is, as you talk to somebody, and this is where I say it's so invaluable to talk to somebody. And for years I've struggled. I've sat there and I know a lot about myself, obviously, and there's a lot of stuff that people don't know about me. And that's because I've bottled it up for years. Because have I found someone that I can truly trust? Yes, I have. But there's an element of trusting somebody, and there's an element of trusting somebody. Do you know what I mean? And there's quite a big difference. And that's kind of the area that I've been in. So I've bottled a lot of my tension up, which hasn't helped. And this is why I do this podcast, so I don't keep bottling shit up for fucking years and years and years. I kind of get to the point where I want to just deal with it, and I want to just be able to talk to somebody. And it will, it does come with time. It does. I fully appreciate that. You know, when you're dealing with mental health, there probably is people out there. In fact, there is people that I trust, but you overthink scenarios, so you do worry about it. Hold on, I'll just take another sip of my juice. I was getting a bit of a dry throat there. So talk to somebody, and that's what this podcast is all about. It's all about talking and getting out there, and already, and I don't even know how long I've been because the screen's gone black, but for me, talking's so important, and it's a way of getting those negative thoughts off your brain. And this is where talking to someone and a journal are so important. Noting that, keep your journal very, very private, because, you know, it's not the sort of things you want people reading, depending on what you put in it. Because if you're pulling stuff off your brain, it's normally because you don't want to do it, or something's affected you. Which brings me into exercise. Well, come on, you know, we talk about this every single time. Exercise is absolutely imperative to just general health and well-being, let alone mental health. And, you know, it's one of the best antidotes to overthinking, actually, because it sort of boosts your response. When you do exercise, you'll lose weight, you'll be amongst nature probably, or you'll be amongst other social gatherings if you go to the gym, which then kind of gives you a scenario where you may talk to somebody, where you might meet somebody, you might come back and put a nice positive spin on your journal because you've had a good experience. So exercising is so important, and it floods your body with those feel-good chemicals, doesn't it? Exercise is just, it's just an absolute abundance of endorphins. You'll lose weight, which means you'll boost your confidence. If you boost your confidence, you're able to fight mental health because you're confident, you're hitting the scenarios with confidence, you're going in with gusto. For me, I mean there's certain aspects I struggle with, and it's kind of, I know what it is, exercise is its own little topic really, because if you don't feel comfortable and you can't find someone to go to the gym with, you kind of lose the interest quite quickly. You might feel body conscious, so you don't want to do the swimming aspect. If you're like me, you can't stand running, so running's a no-go. So I do walking, but then I get bored on the walks because there's nothing interesting to say. So it's a double-edged sword, but it works. But you need to take it slow. Take it with your own pace. Excuse me, I'm going to sit. That's a beautiful little sweet feeling there. And another thing, and we spoke about this earlier on, and that's perform an act of kindness is actually a really good way to dealing with overthinking. By focusing on other people's problems, it sometimes actually blocks out your own problems. And there's like several alternatives for performing an act of kindness for someone who needs it, that they may have less time, but you've got the time. So you're helping them, you're assisting, you're making them feel good. By doing that, you're actually releasing your own endorphins yourself, because you know you've helped that person. They might not be able to do it. Maybe they've struggled. Like I said, this woman has struggled to put a Ring camera in. She didn't feel, she wanted it for security. She wanted it so if she was out, she knew who was at her front door, because that's what we all do. We look for the safety of our sanctuary. Our castle is our safe home, isn't it? So we need to protect it, especially in today's day and age when, you know, Amazon are chucking. I mean, we've got this absolute spout of fucking problems on our estate at the moment where Amazon launched the parcels on the doorstep and UPS, and fucking kids are just going around and robbing it straight off the fucking doorstep. And 9 times out of 10, you'll find it round the corner because it's a bag of shit for them. But, I mean, there was a thing today on the local community. Someone had ordered a little tiny suit for her, I think it was her one-year-old son, for a christening suit. Now, someone stole it off of her front porch, and never returned it. Now, it was tailored, it was expensive, and it was delivered. Now, you might be saying to yourself, well, she should have paid for it to go, and she will get a refund. It was delivered by UPS. And UPS said they were going to deliver it, I think she said at 7:30, they delivered it at 2:30 in the afternoon. So she was anticipating being in, and when they delivered it, someone's robbed it, and just fucking probably just discarded it in the bin, because it's no use to fucking man or beast, a tailored suit for her one-year-old. So we look for that security, don't we? We look for that element of security with the Ring doorbell. So that act of kindness, actually, there's nothing I wanted out of it. It was just, it took me 30 minutes. And in that 30 minutes, I've made things easier for her. She feels safer. And it's a new fandangled fucking gadget for her to have a little play with. So we got through it, and I felt better. The fact that I'm still talking about it, and the fact that I'm talking about it now, just goes to show. And I've got a smile on my face. One of the biggest things, I think, and one of the biggest tips I can probably offer, which does work across the sort of kind of whole area, is process those concerns. Actively process your concerns. So overthinking is kind of an irrational process. It's, you know, it kind of leads you to a lot of negativity when you overthink situations. It's not really something you wouldn't say to someone, oh, he's an overthinker. Oh, fucking hell, give him the job. Because nobody likes an overthinker, because it slows the process down. So there's a lot of negativity in that. So the best thing to do is try to adapt, try to learn and process your concerns quickly. And then we, like I said, we can underpin that with writing stuff down in your journal. You might write stuff down in your journal and then go, okay, I can process that later when I'm a bit happier. Hold on 2 seconds. There we go. Sorry, I've just jumped in and I've got a thingy. Sorry, mate, my thing was on there. Hope you're having a blessed day. Yeah, thank you, mate. I hope you're having a blessed day too. Sorry, I was just jumped on and I was listening away. I was just chatting away, mate. Sorry. But yeah, actively process your concerns. Actively process them. And when you learn to actively process your concerns, you then get better and better at doing it, which means you can naturally, and I don't care what anyone says, you know, mental health conditions, they can be permanent, and there is ones that are permanent, but we can learn to live with them and be a better life. There's no point in just fucking existing, is there? There's absolutely no point in existing. You might as well enjoy life. And if you can enjoy life, then the way to deal with it is to actively smash your, smash your mental health problems head on, literally head on. And that's as you learn to process. Like I said, ADHD comes with, comes with its own little things. It's, and mental health comes with its own little concerns, like you say, lack of motivation, where we can get over that. We can motivate ourselves or find that friendship, someone who's going to motivate you for you. Someone might be stronger in that area. But one of the big things for ADHD is everything becomes messy, disorganized. Well, in actual fact, I'm not messy and I'm not disorganized. My head is, but I'm not, because the way that I was raised, although I was undiagnosed as a young child and right the way through up to my adulthood and 40, and I'm just being diagnosed at almost 41, I've already adapted and I've already come over those because of the process I took, which was the military background, my dad being in the army. So I had a very, very structured approach to life. So for me, I'd already combated that, which is, again, why I was probably undiagnosed, because I'd already built coping mechanisms and instilled them. Remember what I've said to you in previous podcasts, where to make change, you need to do it consistently for 3 months before it becomes routine. It's so important to acknowledge that. So important. So when you process things quickly, the more and more you process these problems, and that might be just a case of writing it down. I mean, I've read in my journal today stuff that I wrote down a couple of weeks ago, and it makes no sense. Absolutely no fucking sense at all. And that's how you know your mind's jumbled. I don't know why I wrote it down, but what I did do is I wrote it down, so I got it off my brain, which means I didn't need to procrastinate over it. I didn't need to dwell on it. I didn't need to overthink these things. So by doing that, I'd given myself a coping mechanism. And I've only been doing it 2 weeks. But the more and more I do it, the more and more those little details will just fizzle away. They'll just decide, that's it, you know. And you become then a routine coping mechanism. Another one is find a distraction. And this is probably one of the hardest things to do. If I'm going to be honest, because when you're overthinking, when you've got a mental health condition, to find a distraction, to find the motivation to get distracted is really, really hard. But distracting your thoughts is one of the quickest ways to manage overthinking. So if you're overthinking a scenario, do something else and then come back to it. And this is where the journal, I mean, I've reflected so much on the journal here, but you might write something down, come back to it later on and process it when you're in a stronger mind or in a better place. Maybe you're in the middle of doing something at work and you can't quite process it. There's been times where I've been sat on a meeting and something's affected me from an email that I've read. So, or vice versa, I've read an email and then gone on a meeting and I can't think about the meeting because the email's affected me or the text message has affected me. So what I have to actively do is I have to actively process that concern and go, right, okay. And I've got this little folder in my Outlook where it's called work in progress. Soon as I put it in work in progress, I know that I've put that on the back burner. It's like writing it down in my journal. I know I've put that on the back burner, so I don't need to worry about that right now because it's in work in progress. I know that once I've finished the meeting and I've given my full attention to the meeting and written everything down or learned what I needed to do or interjected with my own whatever it is, depending on the meeting, I can then go to my work in progress folder and I can look through it and go, okay, yeah, that didn't need to worry about, delete. Or yeah, I can actively look at that now and deal with that. So Billy Bonus, I'll go to that.
And it's the same with my journal. I write stuff down in my journal, and then at the end of the day, I'll look through it and I'll go, nothing really need to process there. I was just off my fucking head. Do you know what I mean? Just off my head, mate. Fucking put it to bed. And I'll turn the page. And what I do is I fold the page in half, so it's like a triangle on the top. Then I know that that's not a page I need to look at again, because I've, and that's where it becomes the OCD and the way that I've been nurtured through my youth and my coping mechanisms give me the ability to do that, because I know that that works. And because I've done it for so long, it becomes second nature. So one of the, and that's where it sort of leads me into using that tax, that sort of task manager or the schedules of your tasks, because ADHD or any mental health condition, they're all kind of in sync with each other, I think. And the more that I learn actually about other mental health conditions, and obviously I've done a plethora of learning through PTSD, depression and anxiety, because that's ultimately what I've dealt with for 10 years. So everything that I've learned is almost relatable with the ADHD, apart from having to deal with the ADHD aspect, which is like, you know, losing concentration, wanting, striving for adrenaline and all the other bollocks that comes along with that condition. I say bollocks in the loosest terms. I'm trying to play it down, but it comes with its own issues, but at the same time they all can sort of cross transfer, really. So everything I do, and that, like I said, this is where I've got everything in my folders structured. All my emails go to certain folders, so I know who they've come from. I've got my Outlook completely and utterly streamlined. I've got my SharePoint completely and utterly streamlined, so I know where the information is, because the last thing you want to do as an overthinker is be searching for things, because you just end up getting into this whirlwind of stress, because you kind of go, fuck, what am I doing? Where is it? Oh, I'm looking for it. And then you start overthinking things. Have I forgotten it? Did I get it? And the amount of times I've gone, no, I didn't get that. And then someone will go, no, you were in the fucking email distribution list. And I'll go, bollocks. They forwarded it to me and there I was. But that's because I may have failed my process. I may have failed logging it in the right place. So using a task manager is so important for you, so important for progression. I think that works across the board. Any mental health condition relies on a structured approach to be able to deal with these things. Now, I'm a very, like I said, I'm a confident person. I'm very ambitious. I've got all these positives, but they're completely and utterly undone with the negatives of my mental health problems. But we can learn, we can adapt to overcome these problems, and we can learn to deal with them and make our lives easier, acknowledging that it's not going to go away. But you have to actively stand there and say, I'm willing for the change. How do I make the change? And one of the biggest things for me is this podcast. It has been exponential in the growth of my progression, because it's given me a platform to talk. It's given me a platform to research for. It's given me a platform to talk to people and understand the struggles I go through as a functioning adult that is, you know, like I said, I've been in the Royal Air Force. I've been site managers. I've learned an absolute abundance of education at the age of 40, because that's where I wanted to go. So it's given me all the positives. But at the same time, I had to actively make that decision to make a change. So I wanted to do this, and the podcast became a big part for me. It's not really about getting out there, making money and all the other stuff that goes along with it. Obviously, to progress, you need to make money, which is ultimately what you have to do to buy the equipment, to be better, to make yourself more appealing and reach bigger markets. I understand that. I'm not stupid. But at the same time, I want to enjoy the process, because this is the first time I can say, in all honesty, in all of the things I've done, from wakeboarding, motorbiking, all the shit that I've tried through the last 10 years, this is the only thing that has given me a simple gratification. It's given me that simple. It doesn't bother me if no one listens. It's the fact that I get to talk. It's the fact that I get to be open in what I call a trusted environment. And that's so important. Like I said, I already feel like relaxed. I feel not stress-free, because there's still that element of protection. I've still got these demons around associated with friends and family, and that lack of that lack of sort of kind of engagement with them, if you like. And almost that fear of losing people is quite a difficult one to deal with for me, because through my other podcasts, I've lost friends, and I've lost people that have just chinned me off, if you like, and just sacked me off, with no explanation or reasoning why. I try to explain this, I try to talk, and this is where sometimes I don't talk to people directly, but I like the aspect of talking through my podcast. And some of my friends will listen to this and they'll go, "Oh, maybe he's talking about me," or, "Oh, I didn't realize that about him," you know. And that's where this is invaluable for me. I found the niche that is helping me, and that's the important thing, I think, to do. If you've got any mental health condition, you're an overthinker, you need to adapt and implement these tools to make your life better, to make you a better person. Because what is the point in just existing? There's no point. If you're not enjoying life and you're not doing something that you love, and don't get me wrong, you don't always get the fucking job that you want. And sometimes a job is a chore because, you know, ultimately that job is just there to give you, you know, the things that make you happy. But that is the most important bit there. That job might be shit, but do it well enough that it gives you the money to make you happy and enjoy life. Because we have to go through this process. We're not blessed. Not every single one of us are blessed with loads of money. Not of us are blessed with hand-me-downs, etc., etc. 90% of this fucking world have to work bloody hard for what they get. There is the odd people that will, ultimately fucking roll in shit and smell of roses. And there are people out there that you can't help that. But don't get fixated on their success through their lack of trying, or their lack of whatever they, you know, their lack of attention to it. Don't get fixated on that. Stick to your own journey. Stick to what makes you happy. Find what makes you happy, and then live life, because it's so important to find what makes you happy. And I'm still discovering that now. I found this podcast, but like I said, I've whittled all my friends down to what I thought was my little friendship group. I've not had much engagement from a lot of them, or even the right engagement. So it's interesting how when you stop talking and you stop engaging with these people, it is a really interesting fact of how little some people engage back or start the conversation. You almost become the support mechanism for their own health, but they're not actually supporting yours. So it's a fine fucking line. It really is. And it's a minefield of errors. It's an absolute minefield of errors. And when you're dealing with mental health, ultimately, you know, you're everything's just doubled, trebled, quadrupled in problems. You know, if you've got any mental health condition, if you've got depression, the world is against you. You're battling from the moment you open your eyes to the moment you close your eyes, you are battling. And nobody sees that because it's an invisible illness. ADHD is an invisible illness. You look like you're just a fucking crazy loon that just wants to go off the rails all the time, but you don't realize that it's a mental health problem. It's a mental health condition, and undiagnosed for 40 years. So all of my 40 years, people have just thought I'm this fucking crazy bastard. And then at 40, I'm getting told, "No, you're not crazy, mate. You just didn't get the right medication and support when you really needed it. The system failed you." And there's so many people where the system fails you. I mean, we're very fortunate to have some sort of system in the UK. I know there's American counterparts that don't have that luxury. And I know that they have to pay for these things. So Americans, you know, all the other Australians, I think, and they all don't get the luxuries of having a national health system like we do. They have to pay for it, so they'll endure it for even longer. So that's where listening and talking and being open becomes more prevalent to them, because they've got no one to talk to. But caveat that with the fact that you may be in the UK and may not want to go and get spoken to. You don't want to. I had a friend of mine actually that was. He was really, really down. He was really sad, but didn't want to acknowledge that he was in that situation because he didn't want it to affect his recreational sport. So it was interesting that he was willing to endure it because he could manage it because his recreational sport made him really happy. So he could manage that sadness through the fact that his recreational sport made him happy and he didn't want that affected. You may get to the point where you are like with me. I've been clinically diagnosed with depression and permanent PTSD. So it's on my record. So there's a few things I can't do. But we live and learn, we adapt, we overcome, we build coping mechanisms to make ourselves better. So ultimately, there's some really good tips there, I think. Some really good tips that literally they support a plethora of different people. They support a plethora of different scenarios, not just ADHD, but whether you've got a mental health disorder in any sort of format, whether you're sad, if you're just sad, don't let it progress to depression. Use these tips to overcome your sadness early on, before it develops into something that's bigger and more difficult to deal with. But the point where you're then like me, you're on medication for life and you're dealing with all this before it gets to that point, try and catch it early. But you may have a friend that you've acknowledged that they're going through this process, or you've noticed that they're a little bit different, or they've changed a little bit of personality. Offer these tips, offer them support, give them that thing. And I spoke to you about trust, and trust is probably the most important, and I think is one of the most valuable things that you can ever have with somebody. And I genuinely mean that. If you have genuine trust in somebody, that is unconditional, then you need to hold on to that. You need to nurture that. You need to just support that because it's really, really, really hard. I've been bitten so many fucking times in my past by people that I thought I trusted that have, whether we're talking 20, 30 years ago, have screwed me over. It's still to the point where you never fully trust that person because of something that happened 20 years ago. You never fully trust that person. To show that trust and actually develop that trust is so invaluable to everybody. And the bond that you will create through that trust is unbreakable, is absolutely unbreakable. And for me, that is still being sought. It's still seeking that, still trying to find that person, that you can ultimately tell them everything in their world, and that's never going to cross their lips. It's never going to leave their lips. It's never going to go to their partner. It's never going to go to another friend. It's going to stay with them, and then you're going to grow old together, and you're the ones that are going to sit there at the end and reminisce over these issues and concerns. So I think that's one of the biggest things. I'm going to leave it there actually, because I think that's such an important thing to leave on. Thank you for the listeners that have jumped on. I really appreciate you listening. I want to do more lives. I'm going to do lives a week actually this week because I do enjoy them. I do enjoy talking and I enjoy people actively listening. So thank you. I really appreciate that. So there's overthinking for you. Overthinking's is a difficult subject. It can consume you and it can make everything worse when it comes to mental health. It really can. So if we can find ways of dealing with it now, find ways to manage it, then grab hold of those and just keep learning. But remember, you need to do something routinely and consistently for 3 months before it becomes a proper routine in your life. Whether that's you getting up at 6 o'clock every morning, don't expect to get up at 6 o'clock and then it just becomes your body clock. Get up at 6 o'clock every day for 3 months, and that will be your new body clock. Go to bed at 11 o'clock or whatever. Consistently switch everything off at that time. That will become, it's crazy because I shut off at 11 o'clock religiously now, and it's crazy. I switch everything off. I look at my clock, and as soon as it says 23:00 or 00, sorry, I switch everything off and I literally go straight to sleep. It's like my body clock says boom, and I wake up at 6:30, boom. Every day, and I've been doing that now for 6 months, and it is just routine for me now. And then I enjoy the weekends when I can have a little bit of a lie-in, I can go to bed a little bit later, and I can enjoy the process a bit more. So just remember that if you're going to do any changes, make sure you do it consistently for 3 months to become routine. And like I said, those tips will hopefully help you. So